Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Merry Christmas early. It's good to see you here on this cloudy, rainy Sunday. Good job for getting here. Thank you for being here in person. I know it's tempting to want to sit at home on the couch and just curl up in a blanket. That's what I want to do when it's cloudy and rainy outside. I don't know how many of you remember last February. I know the months all kind of run together of the last two long years that we've had. But let me tell you, last February was as cloudy and dreary for weeks as it is right now outside. And that's why I was thinking about that this morning. It was so cloudy for weeks. And when it's like that, I don't know about you, but all I really want to do is just sit at home in my pajamas and take a nap. And so when it stayed like that for weeks and weeks, I started to think the sun is never coming out, and I was starting to understand what seasonal depression is really like. I'm pretty sure I had it. I was legitimately begging God to please send us some sunshine. And eventually, obviously, the sun finally came out. I don't know what month it was, but I know it was a Sunday, and it was still really cold outside because I remember going home from church, eating lunch as fast as I possibly could, putting on a toboggan, wrapping myself in a blanket, and going and sitting outside in the sun, just with my face to the sun, soaking up all the vitamin D and all the sun rays until the sun stopped shining on our backyard. I was desperate for sunshine. For me, sunshine, the sunlight, gives me energy and motivates me to do things. Even if it's cold outside, as long as the sun is shining, I can find the motivation to get out and do what I need to do. I need sunlight. You need sunlight. We all need sunlight. Actually, in the very beginning, when God created the world, the Bible says that the world was formless and empty. It was dark. And the very first thing that God did was fix that, because he spoke, "Let there be light." And he created the sun and the moon and the stars. And he gave all of those lights a purpose. This is what the writer of Genesis tells us. God sent them, set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. God gave us light to govern our lives. If you think about it, our world, all of creation, pretty much revolves around the lights in the sky, the climate, the seasons, the tides. Light gives light to the darkness. It illuminates things. Even color is determined by light. Light gives energy to plants and vegetation that we then depend on for oxygen and nourishment. Light governs our lives. We also depend on the sunlight to bring rhythm and order to our own lives. I mean, we wait for the sun to come up in the morning to start our day and tell us when to go to work and when to play and when to be outside. And when the sun starts to set, we know it's time to eat dinner, to wind down, to go to bed. We revolve our lives around the sun so much that somewhere along the way, somebody decided to invent daylight savings time, which I wish we could just adopt all year long, right? When it starts to get dark at 5 and 5:30, what do we want to do? Go to sleep. We need the sunlight. Light is a gift to us. Light does more than just illuminate the dark. Light actually gives us life. In fact, we rely on light. Light is necessary for us to even be here right now. Light is a gift, and it just makes things better. If you have a bad dream, turn the light on. You'll start to feel better. If you can't find something, get a flashlight to help you see better. If you want to take a picture, get the right light to have a better picture. We need light. And I guess the reason that I've been thinking about this so much is because of all the Christmas lights. There are lights everywhere. I have put Christmas lights on probably 4 or 5 trees this Christmas. And so it's just been at the front of my mind. Christmas lights are everywhere. Trees, houses, there's star on top of the tree. We hear about the star that led the wise men to find Jesus. And so I've been thinking about how Jesus is light. Jesus is light. You've heard that Jesus came to be light, or that Jesus is the light of the world. And so the more I've thought about this, the more I've wondered if we miss the significance of this statement. I mean, if life is so imperative to the way that we live, if we rely on light, then maybe we should stop and pause and process the significance of this statement. It's a little bit of an abstract thought, but I think that if we stop and we consider what light really means, then Jesus's light might change the way that we live every single day. And so that's what I want us to talk about for the next few minutes, is the gift of Jesus's light. I could point you to verse after verse after verse, all over the Bible, Old Testament to New Testament, of where the writers reference Jesus as light. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, he's the one that foretold of the birth of the coming Messiah. He said, a great light would shine in the darkness. But the person who wrote about Jesus as light the most is probably John. John was one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, and he called Jesus the light of all mankind. I think maybe the reason that John wrote so much about Jesus as light is because he was actually there when Jesus referenced himself as light, and so it stuck with him, and he remembered it, and he referenced it often. And so I want to take you to that moment in Scripture where Jesus calls himself light, because I think if we look closely at it, it can help us to understand the depth of what this really means for us and why it matters so much. So if you have your Bibles, or if you're following along on your Bible app, we're going to be in John chapter 8. It's in the Gospels. And Trey actually taught a message from John chapter 8 just last week, as he talked about the gift of grace. And we looked at the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. And this moment that we're going to look at now happens just after that. And so Jesus is still there at the temple. And the people he's talking to would have been mostly people of Jewish faith, some of the religious leaders. And this is what John tells us. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, as soon as Jesus said that, his listeners, some of the religious leaders, immediately started to get upset. They started firing back at him and arguing back with him. They said, the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. They're immediately calling him a liar, saying, we don't believe you. Who can back up what you're even saying? Do you know what you're saying? And Jesus says, my witness is my Father. And so they want to know, well, who's your Father? And Jesus says, well, if you knew my Father, you would know me. So you must not know my Father. Now to us, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it's kind of confusing and maybe seems a little dramatic as to why the Pharisees would get so upset simply by Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. I mean, what is the big deal? Like, simmer down. But if you go just a few verses later, towards the end of this passage, John gives us an important detail that he forgot to mention before. It's almost like an afterthought, but it's actually really important. This is what he says. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Now, when I read this for the first time, I thought, so? What? Why would John even say that? But if he said it, it must mean something. So I went and I did a little bit of research, and I read that at the time, the temple was all constructed with a very specific layout, I guess you could say. And so everything in the temple symbolized something. It all held a lot of symbolism for the people at the time. And so the place where the offerings were put, in this specific place, there would have been large candles, several large candles, that all represented the pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the desert. Several hundred years before this event happened, God's people, the nation of Israel, were in captivity in Egypt by Pharaoh. They were slaves there. And God rescued them from captivity in Egypt through a series of miracles that he performed. He appointed Moses to be their leader, and all of these miraculous things happened, and God led them out of slavery, and he promised to take them to a new place, a new and better life. Now, they had no idea where they were going, but it didn't matter, because God put a pillar of cloud in the sky that led the Israelites through the desert during the day, and at night, he led them with a pillar of fire. That pillar of fire was their light. It was their guide. It was their protection. And it never left them until they got to the promised land, to the new land that God had prepared for them. And so just imagine that Jesus stands up to teach, and he walks over to the place where the offerings are put. And his audience would have known all of that history of the Israelite nation. They knew the significance of what those candles meant. Just imagine with me that Jesus gets up and he goes over and he points to those candles. Or maybe he puts his hand on it. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Can you imagine? That is so significant. He walks over and he basically says, I am that pillar of fire. I am the light that will guide you, that will lead you, that will protect you. You will never wander in the desert, in the darkness again, because I will lead you. Follow me now. Do you see why the Pharisees got so upset? They don't know Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe who he is. So to them, it seems like Jesus is maybe being irreverent towards their religious symbols. But he's simply saying, I am the light that can guide you. Jesus is light, is significant, because it's really about the power and ability that he has to lead us. Look at this. We can rely on the light of Jesus to lead us. That's why this matters. Jesus is light. So if he is light, we can rely on him to lead us out of the darkness, not just to eternal life in heaven, not just to the promised land, but he promises to lead us to a new and better life in the present, right now. And he says, you'll never walk in darkness again. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to walk around in the dark, but I have. A few years ago, it's been several years ago now, I had the opportunity to go with my daughter Allie on a fifth grade field trip to a place called Barrier Islands, which is off the coast of Charleston. And when we were there, they go there to like learn about the ecosystems of South Carolina and the Low Country. And one of the activities that they did was a night walk. And what they did is they took us out into this large open field, and it was about 9 o'clock at night in January, so it was cold and really dark. This was not during daylight savings time when the sun had just gone down. It was really good and dark. And they took us out into this field and they said, now turn your flashlights off. We're gonna go for a walk in the woods. It's like, okay. With fifth graders in the woods. And even the guide was not gonna use a flashlight. And the purpose of the night walk was to teach the students about how animals use their other senses to sort of see in the dark. They use their sense of hearing and all that. And so they also did not want them to talk on this night walk in the dark in the woods. So we go out into the woods, and once you get there, the canopy of the trees then hides the moon and the stars. So it is very dark. I'm talking really, really dark. So dark that I really couldn't see Allie's face unless she put her face inches from mine and I could see her eyeballs. That's how dark it was. And I don't know if you've ever been on a night walk with 35 fifth graders without flashlights, but I can tell you what it's like. Number one, it's not quiet. There is a lot of giggling. There is a lot of complaining about being stepped on and pushed. And there's a lot of whining because some fifth graders are still afraid of the dark. And they have very active imaginations about what might be in the dark. And I get it. I mean, we are in the woods. There is raccoons and possums and deer and all kinds of things, although they weren't going to be anywhere near this group of fifth graders. Some of them, if they're not afraid of the dark, think it's a great time to pull pranks and laugh and be silly and make potty sounds. So it is absolute chaos. Let me tell you, they didn't learn anything about how animals see in the dark or function at night. But what I kept thinking was, whose idea was this? And when can I talk to them? My eyes were so tired of straining so hard to try to see where we were going. And I just kept thinking, can we go to bed now? Is it time to head back to the cabin? And can we turn our flashlights on? When you are walking in the dark, it is chaotic, it is exhausting, and it is scary. And Jesus says, you don't have to live like that anymore. I will lead you, and you will never be in the dark again. Darkness is anything that causes us to feel anxious or unsure or worried or afraid or exhausted. Any of those things. When you're wondering about your purpose in life and what to do next, Jesus can direct you onto the path that he has best for you. He will direct you. He will lead you. When you are wondering about a big decision or a next step that you have to take, maybe you're wondering about where you should go to school. Maybe you're wondering if you should take that job or pursue that relationship. Jesus can lead you with wisdom and peace as you take next steps and decide what to do. When you are exhausted or you feel stuck and you are weary, he will lead you to rest. His power will give you the strength to do what you have to do when you need to do it. He will lead you in your family. He will lead you in your work. He will lead you in your marriage and your parenting. There's not a pit, a river, a desert that he can't lead you out of with his hope and his peace and his wisdom. So the next time that you start finding yourself wondering and anxious and worried, stop and ask yourself, am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? Am I looking to him for help? Have I talked to him about this situation? Have you gone to his word for wisdom and guidance? When you're not sure what to do next, ask yourself, am I looking to him to lead me? You know, one of the most unique things about the gift of Jesus' light is that it doesn't just benefit us. When we are relying on Jesus to lead us, it also benefits other people. Jesus didn't stop by saying he was the light of the world. He taught something else about light. To look at it, we need to go to a different gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus started to flip the script on what people thought they knew about following God, because he started to talk about living a righteous life. He started to talk about loving your neighbor and being kind to everyone and about showing forgiveness to everyone. And when it came to light, this is what he said. You are the light of the world. Now, Jesus, didn't you just say that you are the light of the world? So which is it? Is he the light or are we the light? The answer is both. See, his followers, when he taught the Sermon on the Mount, his listeners would have been people that were already being drawn to his light. They were already finding hope in his compassion and his love and his kindness. They are his followers. And so Jesus says, you who have already witnessed my light, you are also the light of the world. And this is why the gift of light matters most. This is why the gift of light matters. Because when we are relying on the light of Jesus, it does make our life better. It does lead us to hope and freedom. But it also allows us to lead others in the same way. We have an opportunity to help lead others to a better life, a life of hope, a life of purpose, a life of peace. When you are relying on the light of Jesus, you reflect the light of Jesus. When you rely on him, you will reflect his light. See, the gift of light is not something that is meant for us to keep to ourselves. It is a gift that you have full permission from the giver to re-gift to anyone you want to. Jesus actually, he directly tells us to re-gift the gift of light. This is how he tells his listeners to do it. He said, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. He started talking to them about the purpose of light in a way that they had relied on, in a way that they would understand. He says, you know how you turn on the lamps in your house so that everybody in your house can see when it starts to get dark outside? So they're all like, yeah, of course. Now, I love this illustration because I love to have lamps on in our house. as soon as the sun starts to go down, I want all the lights on. I am known for walking into a room and I will fuss, turn these lights on. Why is it so dark in here? Stop sitting in the dark. They laugh at me about it because I'm pretty obsessive about it. If there are three lamps in a room, then all three lamps should definitely be on, please. So Jesus says, okay then, here's what that means. In the same way, let your deeds, your good deeds, shine out for all to see. Do not dim your light. Do not hide your light, because your light has a purpose. And the purpose is to make your life better, but the purpose is also to make others' lives better. If you need it, they need it. If you need it, they need it. You know, there are so many people who are wandering around that have not seen the light of Jesus yet. They are walking in darkness. They might work with you. They might live across the street from you. They might go to school with you. They might sit at your holiday table with you this week. And they are walking and sitting in darkness. They are fearful and anxious, and they don't have any hope. But you do. If you rely on the light of Jesus to lead you in your life, you have a gift that can be reflected, that can lead other people. And this is how Jesus says we do it. He says, let your good deeds shine. We simply shine light by doing good things for people. When you think of good deeds, what do you think of? Helping your neighbor across the street rake leaves, or putting away your grocery cart, leaving a good tip for the waitress. Those are all good deeds. Simple acts of kindness are how we shine light, because it helps people see that better is possible. There is good in the world. Notice that Jesus doesn't say we shine light by posting our beliefs on social media. He doesn't say shine light by sporting a bumper sticker on your car with your church logo. He doesn't say shine light by wearing a Christian t-shirt or tattooing Bible verses on your arm. All of those are great. Maybe some of them are good, but that's not how Jesus says we shine light. He says we shine light by doing good deeds. And the reason that we do it is so that everyone will praise the Heavenly Father. That's why he wants us to shine our light. Because when they see us doing good things, being honest, being trustworthy, living with integrity and humility, serving other people, putting other people first, being an encourager to people, when people see us doing good deeds, they will turn to the Heavenly Father. They will turn to God, because they will recognize our good deeds as God's goodness. They will start to see the way that you live and the light that you reflect, and they'll wonder, how are you so full of joy all the time? How are you having so much peace in the middle of this storm you're walking through? How do you have so much patience with people? People are really hard to be around, but you seem to have so much patience and compassion for people. They'll want to know. And when they ask, you can say, I rely on Jesus. He is my hope. He is my light. He is my peace. When you rely on Jesus, you can reflect the light of Jesus. I challenged you a moment ago to ask yourself, am I relying on the light of Jesus to lead me? So if the answer to that question is yes, if you know you are relying on Jesus in the way that you live your life and letting him lead you, and you're depending on him for better, then I also want to challenge you to ask this question. Am I reflecting the light of Jesus? When people see you, do they see Jesus' light? The things that you say, the things that you do, the way that you live, is it reflecting Jesus to other people? Is it evident that you are led by something bigger and better, something they don't have? Is it evident by the way that you reach out to help people, by the way that you encourage people, by the way that you have gratitude and speak with encouragement and just treat people? Are you reflecting the light of Jesus? Can you imagine the difference that it would make if everyone who relies on Jesus' light to lead them committed to reflecting the light of Jesus. Can you imagine the difference that it would make in our community with people's attitudes, the atmosphere in our workplace, the atmosphere in your homes and in your family, if we were all reflecting the light of Jesus? Students, what if you all committed, those of you who are relying on Jesus, what if you committed to shining your light in your school? You know the difference it would make in other students' lives, in the way that they feel about themselves, the way that they see themselves, the way that they feel loved and seen and cared for? Can you imagine the difference it could make on someone's eternity if we all unified around the idea of reflecting Jesus' light in the dark? One thing I can tell you is that at Wellspring Church, we are committed to reflecting Jesus' light to everyone, to this community, beyond this community. We are committed to making Jesus as visible as possible to as many people as possible until they understand that life is better with Jesus in the lead. It's better. That is what our hope and our mission is to see those who are far from God, those who are still wandering in dark, to turn to God, to see his goodness through the things that we do. And I want you to know something. It's working. You're already doing it. You are already reflecting the light of Jesus. And the way that I know that is by what we see happening here at Wellspring on a weekly basis. Just last year in 2021, this whole year, we have seen at least 70 people get baptized. That tells me that you are talking about your church and how it's changing your life. You're talking to people about how Jesus has made your life better, and you're inviting them to come with you. They're seeing the way that you shine your light, and they're motivated by it. They want what you have. You are reflecting the light, and I want you to be encouraged to keep doing it, because there are still people who are wandering in darkness, and they need you to reflect the light of Jesus. The best way that I can show you this is to show you this. We have a video of all the people this year who have been baptized at Wellspring Church. And I want you to watch this and be motivated to keep reflecting the light and to know the impact that you make when you are relying on Jesus and when you are reflecting his light. It changes people's lives. So watch this and know what a difference that you can make.